welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. I'm your host, Chelsea Pites. Today I'm coming at you with a different kind of podcast, and I'm in testing mode right now because I want to create content that my audience wants to hear about, you guys who are listening, but I also want to create content that excites me as well. And I think that's part of being a content creator is not only the testing phase, but also creating stuff that you just like to talk about and hopefully people like to listen to. One of the things that I don't see or hear a lot of are people really deep diving in their top takeaways from some events that a lot of people maybe wanted to go to but couldn't get to. So I'm actually going to dive deeply into an event that I just recently spoke at here in the Phoenix area with some of my favorite people who I have interviewed on this podcast. And I want to give you some of their top takeaways and the nuggets and the greatest hits, so to speak, from that particular conference. Now, the first thing that we need to do is we need to, if you are not driving, I want you to pick up your phone right now and I want you to go over to Instagram and I want you to connect with me because I am loving Instagram. The conversations in the community there that I'm having in the direct messages are bar none. I'm loving stories. I'm loving watching people's stories. I want to follow you. I want to connect with you. I want to support you and your content. And the only way that I can do that is if you come over to Instagram, you follow me and send me a message and let me know, hey, I came over from the Voice of Social Sales, and I will absolutely support and connect with you and follow you back. So please let me know. Now, on to the show. Recently, I was speaking with none other than Facebook ads expert Travis Tom, and you all need to be following him. He has his own podcast as well, and he also has an unusual spelling of his last name, like moi. And so Tom is actually spelled T-H-O-M. You can find him on Facebook under Elevated Real Estate Marketing. He has an incredible paid and free Facebook group. He is the Facebook ads expert for Lab Coat Agents, one of the largest real estate Facebook groups that there is in the world. So he's legit and he's an all-around nice guy. So I definitely recommend connecting with him. If you do reach out to him, let him know that I sent you. He was talking about some simple strategies that are working now for Facebook ads. Now, let me just back up a little bit because if you've been following Facebook and all of the struggles that they've had and the data breaches and the changes and yada, 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 I've talked about that here on my podcast. I do want to mention that a couple of weeks ago, they actually resolved some of the lawsuits that had been pending against them. They had some settlements go out in the real estate world and specifically to HUD, which was looking at their targeting categories and determining if these were in fact potentially discriminatory, if people were able to exclude different demographics of people, which is unethical and could potentially violate the terms and laws that we have in our real estate community. In so doing, they are changing once again what is going to be happening on the guidelines for targeting. They're removing now the ability for real estate agents and lenders, anyone basically in the real estate arena, from targeting by age, by zip code, and also by gender. Now, zip code was the one that got everybody's feathers ruffled because they thought, oh no, if we can't, you know, target by zip code, it's basically we can't even do any farming or geographic location. Not exactly true. So let me just dive into that a little bit before I get into his nuggets and takeaways from the conference. So yes, they are removing age and gender. What I will tell you is that the Facebook algorithm is pretty darn smart. It really does know what your ad is saying, what the copy is, what the photos are. It knows what industry you're in. It also knows who to serve it to. Let's be honest. It's actually quite smart, probably frighteningly so. And so it's going to know that if you're in, say, Scottsdale, where the average home price could be anywhere from $350,000 in, depending on what area you're in, maybe even $1 million, or vice versa, if you're in San Francisco, it's going to know what the price point, generally speaking, is. It's going to also know to serve that ad, even if you put nothing in. If you didn't tell it age at all, typically, for the most part, it's going to serve it to the right people. So you don't have to worry about somebody who's maybe 18 getting your ads and they, you know, may or may not be able to afford your $10 million home. That is really not that much of a worry. what people were really concerned about was the zip code section. And they thought, oh no, now I'm not going to be able to do digital farming. And that's not going to be good because that's what I've been relying on. Well, here's the thing. You are still going to be able to drop a pin and have an address. So say you have a listing or an open house, you can drop a pin there and you can do a radius search around it. It is going to be a limit of 15 miles at the very smallest. Okay. So you're still going to be able to do that. However, Travis and his strategies are quite different. He said that in his agency, they have not used zip code targeting for over 2 years. The changes that I'm talking about here are going into effect, I believe, around September of this year. So anyway, back to what actually is working. And this was really awesome because Travis is incredibly willing to share pretty much everything that he does. He's cut from the same cloth, you know, that like a Gary Vee is, where he's like, you know what, I'm just gonna tell you everything because, you know, you could find it online and stuff too. And I've made all the mistakes and all of that. So he talked about combining lifestyle behaviors, lifestyle changes, things that are happening in people's, you know, world when, you know, they're looking at moving or upsizing or downsizing, right? So one of his slides said, you know, true or false, on October 6, 2018, Facebook removed all targeting related to real estate in reaction to an international scandal. Now, a lot of people, that's the headline that they read. And what actually happened, they did remove 1,500 targeting interests in 2018, but only 5 were directly related to real estate. Again, headline readers, they heard, oh my gosh, everything is gone. But what really happened is 5 that were directly related to real estate were actually pulled, okay? So that was the main thing that was happening. Now, we have all these other changes that are coming in September, but it's still not going to be the end of the world, right? We are not going to be able to depend on the saved audiences from Facebook or the targeting as perhaps the main form of creating audiences, right? And we've talked about that on other shows too. So it's really important to be thinking about what are the life stages that are happening. People getting married, people getting separated, divorced, retired, giving birth, adopting a child, starting a school or going to school, leaving to college. Now, this is all information that you can find from NAR, guys. They have reports on these life events. So looking at your audience, you're matching the life stage with the consumer behavior. So what Travis does is he uses targeting that might be newly engaged. You can actually look under demographics, under life events, and you can find people that have been newly engaged a year, several months. They could be just gotten married under newlywed. You can put engaged. You can also put married. That's under the relationship status section. And then interests, you guys, layering on the interests. Under additional interest, and you can actually manually type these in the targeting category area, buying a house, house hunting, realtor.com, Redfin, relocation personal, Trulia, Zillow. If people are online looking at Zillow, they're probably thinking about some sort of real estate related type of transaction. So it's thinking about, okay, let's get away from just the zip codes, just the areas. Let's really serve these ads to people who are actually having life events, and then, you know, getting those people into the funnel. He talked about creating lead ad forms. These are forms within the Facebook ecosystem that keep all the people within Facebook, which Facebook loves because remember, they don't make any money if you leave the feed, right? They can't serve you more ads. So they want to keep people in Facebook, spending more time there. Now, these lead ad forms actually have a little like landing page that pops up and it's pre-filled with all their information. That's right. So whatever you have signed up with in Facebook, your Facebook account, whatever you've signed up with, your Gmail, your work email, whatever it is, your phone number, your name, all of that stuff is just sucked automatically into this form. And you can actually create questions on the form. You can ask for different data. It's incredible. They're just building this mini landing page. I mean, you don't even need a website, right? I mean, not that I'm recommending that you don't have a website, but you can do Facebook lead ads and create lead generation without even having to depend on a website to send it to. So a few of the other things that you can use for life stage is new parents. new parents, parents with early school age children, parents with preschoolers. And again, you layer that with things like buying a house, house hunting, mortgage calculator, the Home Depot, home improvement, etc. So the four converting Facebook lead ads. So now you know the targeting that you want to be looking into. And now you know that you want to use the lead ad form because it does kind of a heavy lifting for you to capture those leads. And the best part about those lead ad forms is just because I click on your ad and maybe I see that it has a form pop up and I'm like, eh, no, forget it. I don't want to actually fill out that form or give my information. The cool but like creepy thing, because Facebook watches everything and knows everything, is that even if John Smith, who just clicked my ad and said, oh, no, I'm bouncing, I'm not going to actually submit this form, it knows that John Smith still clicked my ad. So I can go back into the Facebook ads dashboard, the ads manager, and I can create what's called a custom audience based on different levels of engagement. And one of those different levels of engagement is through my lead ad form. And so if they actually clicked on it but didn't send it to me, it still knows John Smith clicked on it, and I could potentially serve another ad to John Smith down in the future. So that's why they're so awesome. So number one he talked about was broad targeting home buyers. And the copy that he used was, find all the homes for sale in the area you want to be in. See every home that is priced under $599,000 today. Tap learn more to see all the photos, prices, and details. So obviously you want to change the pricing there if your median is, you know, $999,000. And he's using emojis too. So when he says find all the homes, he has find all the homes, house emoji, for sale in the area you want to be in. Now, how great is that? For sale in the area you want to be in. Now, that is some clever copy because it's not just saying, hey, in X area. It's the area that you want to be in. Every home that is priced under whatever dollar amount today. Like again, today, it's a call to action. Like now is the time. Tap learn more, which is the little button that you see on the ad. You're again giving them a call to action. You have to tell people what to do, right? You have to say, here's where you go. Here's what you do. Click here. Tap learn more to see all the photos, prices, and details today. Now the headline, which is down at the bottom by that learn more button, he has ready to make the move, ready to make the move. So that was number one performing ad. Number two, and these are not like one's performing better than the other. There's four different ads and I'm just kind of reading them in the order that they're here. First time home buyers. So the copy reads, we have put together a free list of homes for sale priced under X dollar in the blank area, Seattle area, Phoenix area, Scottsdale area. Check out these listings. Perfect for the first time home buyers, and some of these homes even qualify for special financing programs. So again, we've put together a free list of homes for sale priced under X amount of price in whatever area. Check out these listings. Perfect for the first time home buyer, and some of these homes even qualify for special financing programs. Now, you're going to want to make sure that you're, you know, really able to pull those lists. So you're going to want to go to your MLS. You're going to want to pull the list. You want to see kind of what's out there. So you want to actually be able to have the list to send to them. And these are all things that you can get with all the tools you already have. We all can go into MLS and pull lists of homes, okay? Now the headline for that one was click here, and then here is all capital, to view the homes under X price. So again, you're letting them know it's a free list. It's homes under this price. And so you're speaking to the people in that area that maybe have been looking and they're first time home buyers. And you guys, you're letting them know, you're educating them. It says perfect for first time home buyers. So again, your niche is first time home buyers. So if I'm a first time home buyer and I've been thinking about buying and you've layered in those categories and those behaviors, I'm going to say, oh, I'm a first time home buyer. They're talking to me. And then the second piece of that is that some of these homes even qualify for special financing programs. You're letting them know, not only is this for first-time homebuyers, but there might be special financing. And let me tell you, a lot of first-time homebuyers don't know about that. They think you still have to put 20% down, which obviously we all know is not true. Now, the third one is move-up homebuyers. And the verbiage that he used was, have you seen these amazing larger homes for sale? See all the homes that are four-bedroom and up, with like a little plus sign. Homes in the heart of wherever, Portland, Seattle, San Francisco. Probably not finding a whole bunch of homes in San Francisco that are four bedroom and up for a certain price. But, and then it says, download the list of homes now. Prices starting at X number, four bedrooms and up. So let's go through that again. Move up home buyers. So we just talked about people who have just maybe had a new baby. Okay, so you could be looking at a move up home buyer. Have you seen these amazing larger homes for sale? Larger. People are like, oh, we're looking for a larger house. We're looking for a bigger house. So you're speaking to those people and you're speaking their language. See all the homes that are 4-bedroom and up. Homes in the heart of wherever. Download the list of homes now. Again, your call to action. Download the list of homes now. Prices starting at X. And then really smart, not just the number 4, but the word 4 spelled out. So we did the number 4 in the first line and then we spelled out 4. So you're really kind of hitting 4 a couple of times, but you're not repeating the number. Headline, need a bigger home. Need a bigger home. So that was a really good one. And then the fourth one he talked about, maybe you are looking to find a new person to join your team if you're a brokerage and you're recruiting. So he talked about agent recruitment ad and he gave this example. Learn how to avoid the pitfalls and costly mistakes that most agents make and how to thrive in real estate instead of just surviving. In this free guide written by top producing agents, you'll discover an easy and proven way to sell more homes and help guarantee your future success. Download the free guide today. And the headline is Top 5 Reasons Agents Fail at Real Estate. Now, let me just go through some of those, the psychology behind this copy. The copy is the number one most important thing in your ad, okay? So it's your copy and your image or the targeting. That's the only two reasons that your ad wins or loses. Learn how to avoid the pitfalls and costly mistakes. That is a very specific wording. And you want people to know that there could be a costly mistake. If you go with the wrong place or if you're at the wrong place and you don't have the right guidance or the right tools, you could lose a lot of money. People don't want to lose a lot of money, right? It's the fear thing. It's the emotion. Then it says, learn how to thrive in real estate instead of just surviving, right? We hear that all the time. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be new in real estate and I don't want to be living paycheck to paycheck and I want to thrive. And thrive is a word that connotes a whole lot of really positive things. Then it goes into, again, in this free guide written by top producing agents, again, credibility written by whom? Top producing agents. You'll discover easy, we all like easy, and proven, we all like proven, okay? So there is psychology behind this copy. So that was really what Travis talked about. He was amazing. You might have to rewind this and play it back a few times, but I definitely encourage you to go and follow him and connect with him on all the socials. Okay, now we're going to move into my section, which was basically on Instagram stories, Instagram, and how the new screen-to-screen is the new face-to-face. Now, I'm not going to rehash a lot of the content that I've already put out on this podcast. If you want to hear about branding and camera first and all that stuff, I recommend that you go back to the first 10 episodes and before to get that information. But I did talk a lot about that. I did give some quick tips on how to get more reach and engagement on your Instagram stories. And I have done an entire podcast about that, but I'm just going to give you a couple of highlights in case you haven't listened to those. Really, really important that when you are creating your Instagram stories, that number one, you're looking at into the camera lens with your eyes, not your own eyes in the reflection, because it's building trust. And also, you're going to want to change angles from story to story. I do see a lot of people just, you know, doing like the whole minute where it's the same exact like angle or like looking directly into the camera. The brain needs movement, which is why when you look at something that's a highly edited video, maybe on YouTube or something like that, they're cutting away. It's like every couple of seconds they're cutting away. So you definitely want to just keep to, you know, the 15 seconds or less little mini clips, even though you can go up to a minute now on Instagram stories. And they just do that with like, you know, kind of like an ongoing multiple stories that they just chop up automatically for you. But you want to use, you don't want to go the whole time and just constantly be in the same angle. You also want to use the location stickers because that is how you're going to get more views and more discoverability when you are using Instagram stories. Because if I tag Disneyland, if I'm at Disneyland, then other people who are looking for that hashtag or location or that place, they will be able to find my public story added to that public story and also into the feed of posts that feature that particular location tag. You also want to use the hashtag sticker in Instagram stories as well. The same strategies apply for hashtags in the stories as it does in the actual posts. Now, in the posts themselves, you can have up to 30 hashtags. You cannot have up to 30 hashtags in your story. They give you one pretty hashtag sticker, which is like an actual sticker that says hashtag, and it's pretty because it's, you know, like designed and has colors and everything like that. But if you wanted to actually use the text feature and type in multiple words with hashtags, you could do that too. Jen Herman, who is an incredible Instagram expert. Oh my gosh, she's going to be coming on the show. If you don't know Jen Herman, it's J-E-N-N, Herman, Jen's Trends. It's two N's in Jen. She's amazing and just phenomenal. She is my Instagram guru. She actually said that you could type in up to three hashtags. If you type in anything more than that on your Instagram story, it's just not going to even register it. They really just don't want people like gaming the system so much in the Instagram stories at this time. So think about, you know, maybe one hashtag per story. And then you could do up to three typed. But if you try to go back, like let's say you add an Instagram, I'm sorry, you add a hashtag sticker. Maybe it's hashtag real estate life. And then you like think, oh, I want to add another sticker. And you try to go back and you tap the sticker again. It doesn't give you the option. It just brings you back to the hashtag real estate life one you've already done. So there's a tip for you on that. But what you'll see is when you go to look at your insights on your story, you'll see like a jump, usually a spike in views. So if I have three stories out of my 10 that don't have any location tags or hashtags in it, it might, let's just say, oh, maybe those got 10 views. And then the ones that had the location sticker and the hashtag sticker might jump up to 50, 100, several hundred. And those people can easily tap into your account, see what you're all about, follow you, etc. So that's a really important strategy to be using location stickers and also the hashtag stickers within your stories. Now, what I like to do is I like to add context to my content because 85% of the people who are watching video content on social media are watching it without sound. And I am one of those people. I could be in the airport. I could be standing in line at the grocery store. I could be at the gym and I may not have my earbuds, nor do I want to put them in. I mean, I have Bluetooth earbuds, so it's like, ugh, man, what a hassle. So sometimes it's just easier not to worry about it. So a lot of times I listen to it without sound. And what's really helpful is when people can add context to that content with text across it. So like a little short sentence or a couple of different words. That is really helpful for a couple of reasons. Number one, it stops the tap because people are reading and our brains can't help but read. Then it also lets me consume your content in a way that is helpful to me. So you may not have to like repeat exactly what you're saying. I never do that. I never type out exactly what I'm saying in the actual like verbal audio. But I might have like an aside, like I might have a little summary of it or like something that kind of, you know, maybe you would get what I was talking about if you were able to read that. So I definitely recommend adding the context to the content to increase your engagement. Otherwise, you're going to miss a whole bunch of people, which by the way, like another pro tip, you guys, for your Facebook Live videos, you need to be leveraging that description. I see so many people that are going live and not putting anything in that description area because guess what? People are reading and I might just swipe right past your live video. But if you had a good title, a headline, and I could read everything you were talking about, I might actually watch your video. Or even if I didn't, I'm like, hey, that was awesome. Thanks. I was able to consume your content. Okay. So it's all about branding and meeting your consumer the way they want to be met. Adding calls to action is so critical. And I talked about this earlier in the podcast, but you guys, we have to get better at adding calls to action. And at first I felt a little weird about it because I was like, oh, I feel kind of weird like telling people what to do. We want to be told what to do. It's just a weird thing about our brains. So tell people on your stories, hey, message me, you know, tell me, send me a message, comment below, all of those types of things so that people will actually do what you want them to do. And of course, yes, could I ask a question and have a poll that people could tap? I sure could. And maybe if I ask people to message me, I might get a huge reduction. So let's say 10 people would have actually tapped my poll. And if I ask them to message me, maybe only 3 people will message me. But guess what? I get to engage in a conversation with those 3 people. And it definitely triggers the algorithm because now it knows that we're talking, right? Which is really, really impactful. So add calls to action to your story. Give people shout outs, tag people's account. And here's another thing that I don't see a lot of people doing. When I tag or shout people out, tell people why they should follow them. So it's great if you're in, you know, X industry and you tag a friend at a conference. Well, I don't know why I'd want to follow them. I mean, part of me is going to follow them probably because I like you and I like your content. And I figure, well, if I like you, I'll probably like them. But it's kind of helpful too to be like, hey, follow, you know, my friend Jen because she's amazing at Instagram and drops tips every week, something like that. So give shout outs because that will help you build your community and connect them with quality people as well. And you want people to return the favor. And then another tip that I have for you is sharing people's posts, like in the feed posts to your actual story. It's another way to shout them out, to build community, etc. Now, you're not going to be able to do this on every post. They have to have it their settings set to public. But it's a great way to share a really cool post that maybe you've seen in the feed and you want to highlight. And it's a really great way to do that. And then you can also put a little note on there like, hey, check out so-and-so. They give great tips like this or whatever it is that you're sharing. So those are some of the tips that I gave to up the Instagram engagement. So let's now move on to the podcasting section, which our friend Dustin Brome, who is the creator of the Massive Agent podcast. If you have not gone over and subscribed and listened, you are missing out. He is one of the, I'd say, you know, grandfather, air quotes, because, you know, podcasting for real estate, you know, we've kind of just recently gotten into this game, but he's, in my eyes, one of the first adopters who really created a killer real estate podcast and drops a ton of marketing knowledge. So with that, he talked about how to build your own podcast and basically how to get started so that you can be successful. And he had some really great tips that I'm going to share now. If you are interested in what kind of gear that you need to get started, you can actually see a list of all the gear that he has, and he kindly has discounts as well. So go to massiveagentpodcast.com/resources, and you'll be able to see all of that information there. So his tips were as follows. Obviously, the calls to action, like we talked about, and dropping a call to action maybe in the beginning of the podcast, in the middle of it, and of course at the end, asking listeners to subscribe, and also asking for reviews and ratings on iTunes, which is also known as Apple Podcasts. You guys, that is so important. Think of this like Google. You know, when you have your business set up on Google, it's important to get reviews because that's how Google is determining how they're going to be serving up businesses. And the same thing happens when you're podcasting. You need the reviews to tell iTunes, hey, you should like send this out to more people because people are really liking it. So ask people to review and rate your podcast. And guess what? Make it easy for them. Let them know how to do it. You might even want to send a couple of little 1, 2, 3 step. Here you go. Go here, click here. And then, you know, if you feel like leaving a review or otherwise leave a 5-star, whatever it may be. Create an easy direct link for them to review you, like massiveagentpodcast.com/review. So you want to have that branded to you and you want to make it really easy and put that in everything that you do. He also talked about creating contests, and what he uses to create contests is called King Sumo, KINGSUMO, and it's free and he loves it. And he's been using that and it's been great. Obviously you want to market your podcast everywhere. He links to his podcast and his email signature and any online bio that he has. I also love his tip that he gave to me when I started my podcast is not to launch with one, which is what I did. And you know, he's right, because if you've got people that are going to be listening to your content, you want it to be bingeable. And they may not like one of your podcasts. Like you may just, you know, hit them on the wrong day or it's the wrong content. They may want to give it a try and see something else. Or if they love you, they're going to be like, yes, I'm driving in my car, I'm cleaning my house, whatever it is, let me listen to another one. And you need to have the calls to action to subscribe in there, because if they don't subscribe, it's pretty rare that it's just going to randomly show up or they're going to remember to go back to your podcast. Because remember, this isn't like social media where the podcasts are going to be flowing through a feed. You got to get there and subscribe. So it's just like a YouTube channel, which is why you always hear really well-known, well-versed YouTubers giving calls to action everywhere about subscribing, right? Then he talked about content and really writing down 20 ideas that you could talk about for 10 to 15 minutes by yourself. to get started. And so one of the things that I really work on is creating content that I can do by myself, because you can't always rely on a guest all the time. And sometimes I don't want to hear guests. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. So I like to have a mix of non-guest shows and also guest shows. But 20 ideas that you could successfully talk about for 10 to 15 minutes so you don't feel overwhelmed. You have to really be on a schedule for podcasting. This also goes for YouTube videos, because you want it to be episodic. You want people to expect it, like Game of Thrones, to be coming out on the same day of the week, maybe even the same time, right? So you want to get people trained so that every Monday or every Wednesday they can find your latest episode. He talked about also just repurposing articles that you're reading to use as inspiration for content as well, which we've talked about plenty of times on this show. Now, he uses Buzzsprout.com, as do I, and also recommends Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, which is also an incredible podcast host platform. That's a mouthful. So it was really interesting to see him live kind of talking about his tips and tricks. He also said that before you launch your podcast, you want the album cover art, which is basically could be a picture of yourself and your name of your podcast. In my case, I just went to Fiverr.com and had somebody create a logo, and that was my album cover art. And he did really talk a lot about creating the name. The name of your actual show is super important, because you're not going to be able to really change it, you know, easily anyway, and you're probably not going to want to change it. And it was something that he talked about very transparently, that, you know, he didn't really think long and hard about the name of his show, and it worked out well and it stuck. But, you know, think about, is your name of your show really speaking to the people that it should be? Is it speaking to the niche? Is it relevant? Are there keywords in it? So you might want to really think about that. And also the headlines, like the titles of the podcasts, should be equally as informative, relevant, and engaging, so that I could easily look at what episode that is and decide if I want to listen. Then you're going to plan out, are you going to co-host? Do you have a schedule? Are you going to use Skype? Are you using Zoom if you're doing interviews? Are you using Ringer.com? Any of those things. And then the intro and outro music, which, to be honest with you guys, I just recently started doing. By the way, I came by way of my music by going to premiumbeat.com, and I found a 15-second clip that was royalty-free and have been using that with some minimal editing. So that was really helpful. I was really excited to hear him talk about podcasting, give his tips and tricks. The next person who came on stage was none other than Jason Fraser of theagentmarketer.com, and he also spoke at Agent 2021 alongside Dustin and myself. And Fraser talked a lot about the process of content, the pillar content to atomization, or the breakdown of the micro content, which was also really helpful to kind of see how he did it in action. What I liked about what he did is he didn't just have, you know, slides up there. He had slides that he referred to, but he actually walked through, okay, here's my article. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. This is how I break it down for the socials. So it was really helpful to see him do that live. Now, what I love about what Fraser talked about is curation is such an important part of creating content. And I'm not saying you should not create original content. Of course you should. You need to have your three T's, the tip, trick, the takeaway, on any piece of content that you do. But a lot of people get caught up and overwhelmed by thinking, oh my gosh, every piece of content I need to create has to be original. Guess what? You're not listening to original content right now. I mean, yes, I am creating original content, but I'm using the inspiration, the nuggets, the slides, the conversations that happened at this event to then create content. So this is very meta, because this is the exact example right here. But he talks about curating content the right way, finding a piece of trending content or content that is already popular locally. And then, in his words, to become Captain Hot Take. Have a hot take on the topic, add your voice, give your value, basically give your opinion, right? And it may not be a popular one, but that's always a good way to get people talking. Every major news network he talked about is really about commentary. And that really is, they're taking a piece of content, they're curating it. We can learn from what the news outlets are doing. Then you need to choose your format. Is it going to be written, voice, or video? And then you create the piece of that curated content. I always want to give people their due. So you want to, you know, say, hey, this is something that came from XYZ article, or this is the author. And some really good tools that he uses, obviously, are Google Alerts, BuzzSumo.com, BuzzSumo. I use Feedly.com, FEEDLY. Just already established online news sources, podcasts. I mean, anything, you guys. There's so many different ways to create that pillar content. And then what you do is you kind of put that into a calendar. And then once you have that pillar, that bigger piece, which is your blog, your podcast, your YouTube video, your Facebook Live video, then you decide on those micro content opportunities and channels. So whether, you know, if I do a podcast, am I going to create a little audiogram and I'm going to post that on Insta? Am I going to put it in my Instagram story? You bet I will. And so that's how you take one big piece and then leverage it for longevity and chop it up and use it down the road. So his tools that he uses to create pillar content was snappa.com. That's S-N-A-P-P-A. He's making graphics with that paid service. Grammarly, which I love. It's so helpful. This is also a little plugin for your Chrome. It's a Chrome extension plugin, and it will tell you if your grammar is on point and also spelling. Grammarly, G-R-A-M-M-A-R-L-Y. Buzzsprout and Zoom for podcasting. And then he uses a Movie Pro app to edit his videos. And then he chooses the channel, social media, podcast, flash briefing, articles, microblogs, like using Medium. And then creating that micro content with links and mentions to the actual parent pillar content. So if you're going to be using this micro content, you always want to link it back to the major big pillar piece of content. And then what he does is he deploys a 5-day push strategy and schedule, which is going out there and making sure that for 5 days you are pushing that micro content. So you might have the curated content that you figure out, you create your pillar content, and then day one, you post something on Facebook. Day two, you make an Alexa flash briefing. Day three, you make a podcast. Day four, you post to LinkedIn. Day five, you do Instagram. And that's really how he keeps himself on track with the content. So that was really helpful to see that. And then last but not least, we had an incredible motivational mind share speaker, David Greenspan, who also we did a podcast with while he was here, and he just shared some really incredible time blocking techniques and skills that can up your game, not only in social media, but really help you create a brand. A lot of what he talked about was the story about how all of us met and how it was this network, this web, this human network of connectivity that never would have happened had it not been for social media. And his theory and his content and his message is about mindshare 101. That's his hashtag. And it's really about how do you capture mindshare so that when people think of X, they think of you. And that's our whole entire goal. And David was so right when he pointed out that, you know, you might not walk into a coffee shop and just sit down at any random table and just start talking to people. But with social media, specifically Facebook groups, you can go in and talk to everyone. And it's incredible, right? You can't even get the leverage doing that in person. There's just no way to do it. So he talked a lot about connecting with people in the right places to develop that mind share. And that it's really not about the business. It's not about the industry. It's really about you. And not even so much you, but it's about the consumer, obviously, and the value that you bring to them. And, you know, time is money. He talked a lot about spending more equals working more as well. So if you're spending, you know, more money or more time on something, then you're going to have to work harder at it as well. So from there, he really broke it down into the different categories of building mindshare. There's people that you know, there's people that you don't know. You have two groups of these people, the people you know, the people you don't know. And we know that 70 to 90% of your business typically comes from the people that you do know, and that includes your referrals. So this tells us that you really need to focus on the people that you know. I love this, you guys. It means going deep and not necessarily going as wide. A lot of people talk about growth and getting more followers and getting to new people, but you guys, the world just, the way it is like we go deep with our community, you're going to get more business out of the people that you already connected with. Now, he's not saying that you don't go out there and continue to connect, but you go out there, connect with 3, 4, 5, 10 people and get to know them for a while. So that was really great. I loved that reminder. And lastly, my really big takeaway was that you cannot outsource your brand. You cannot outsource it all. And he had a really poignant story that he shared about a friend of his that, you know, called him and said, hey, should I'm looking to hire this company to do my social media. And then they talked about it. And he's like, you know, this is your brand. You've got to be really careful about what you outsource and how much. So all in all, it was a really incredible day. Definitely recommend that you follow all of those people. I will put their handles in the show notes that you can connect with them and follow them as well. And if you liked me kind of giving you this deep dive of the events that I spoke at and you'd like me to do it more in the future, I will do that. I go to a lot of conferences and events, and I will start making podcasts with my takeaways if that would be helpful to you. So between now and the next time I go on to a conference, I'd love to connect with you. Like I said, on Instagram, I want to follow your stories and your content and support you. So please make sure that we connect on Insta. You can find me at chelsea.pites. If you want more information about where you can find me and my content, you can go to chelseapites.com. And as always, thank you in advance for subscribing to this show. It means a ton to me. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.